And there's your 8 o'clock rooster call on this 163rd day of 2016. All right, today's June 11th. We have 15 hours and 14 minutes of sunlight today. What is that going to let us do to our trees this morning? It's Rosie on the house. We were talking trees in this outdoor living hour with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. That's a lot of hours of sunlight.
That's a lot of hours.
It is. You know, I was
and in warm hours too. I got to stand out inside for a couple of it yesterday.
We went to a 70s high school reunion last night, and it's so funny. I had to be up for the broadcast today, and one of our other friends had to be up for something this morning. So we walked out of the reunion last night, and it was still light out. I mean, this is a perfect example of an old fogey is when you. Leave your high school reunion, and it's still light out when you leave, you know. It was a 10-year reunion. We were up till 4 in the morning drinking with friends. And 20-year reunion, you know, it's kind of, well, I think it's like 10 o'clock. I think we better start heading, thinking about going home.
The light's still on.
And now it's a 40-year reunion. It's like we're out of there at 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Aren't we sneaking up here in the next week or two on the longest day of the year? I mean, that's the 21st.
That's the
bright spot of June is this
summer.
This is as long as the day is going to be, and you can just start counting the days down to fall
and
after
you get,
that, right?
You get 4 extra minutes than you do today. You get 15 hours and 18 minutes on the solstice.
Well, lots to do with your trees today. If you're out in your yard today, if you can handle the heat, now's the time to be out there. I was out this morning actually shoveling some dirt at 5:30 this morning because we have irrigation coming on Monday, so we had to do some berm repairs, and I thought I got to take advantage of the cooler weather. But yeah, we got a lot on the show today. We want to encourage your calls to phone in with your questions later, but we want to talk a little bit about getting your trees ready for summer. We want to talk a little bit about the summer tree care class we had last week. Those of you who had a chance to go and take that class in at the Desert Botanical Garden, we're glad you could make it out. If you weren't able to make it to the class, we have a great article called Preparing Trees for Summer on our website. If you haven't had a chance to check that article out or you missed some of our broadcasts last month, go to the website itreeservice.com/articles, and you'll find the article called Preparing Trees for Summer. It's a great review, just talks about wind dynamics, about irrigation, about staking and guying. And it'll cover a lot of the stuff we talked about last month. But get your trees ready for summer. The most important thing you'll find in that article is being sure you prune your trees to reduce the end weight. It's the end weight that pulls trees over, that breaks branches. And it takes a little bit of skill to do that. That's what we cover in our class classes each summer, is how to do good crown reduction pruning. Anybody can do crown thinning, that is, removing all those smaller branches on the inside, but you don't want to gut the inside of your trees and leave these heavy lion tails of foliage on the outer third of the canopy. People think that that's going to make the tree safer because the wind blows through the inside, but those ends out on the ends of those branches flag in the wind, and they quite often break, or they can pull the tree over. You need to learn how to make some crown reduction cuts as well as some thinning cuts, so you are kind of reducing the overall height and spread of the tree as well as just thinning out the middle.
Is there a degree of arc you look for to cut it back as it's bending? Does that tell you it's too heavy? Well, over like a 30 degree?
If your branches are bending over, they probably are pretty heavy. In fact, we were looking at some Texas olives this week, and they were just so loaded with fruit that the branches were nearly breaking, and our customer wisely thinned a lot of that fruit out. And yeah, absolutely. Certain times of year, the African sumacs get loaded down with those seed pods, and also your mesquites get heavy with pods. So, yeah, when those trees start loading up, and it's right about now because they've bloomed in the spring, they're loading up with the fruit and the pods right before the monsoon comes in July. So, yeah, it's a good idea to get out. And most of those pods are out in the outer third of the canopy. So, yes, if you can remove some of those branches that are heavy with fruit or pods, a good idea. It's a good way to reduce that end weight.
I sure hope a monsoon comes, and it smelled like rain this morning. And there is,
I know where was El Nino? What happened?
Hopefully he's still coming. Maybe he's just joining up with the monsoon to make it a
joining
really
up with,
great.
With La Nina.
But as hot as and irritating as the Arizona summers can be, it's the only time you get to smell that wet creosote. And it doesn't have the aroma that it does in the wintertime when it's cooler. There's something about that heat and the wetness of a creosote
oil.
That
I know,
you can't get anywhere else in the world.
I know. And it's only us Arizonans who come to appreciate that over the years. Yeah, I love that smell. It's quite a quintessential Arizona smell. In fact, this morning, after that little bit of rain last night, did you have rain at your place?
No, we didn't, but I got the smell.
We had quite a bit here. Yeah, it was not too long of a rain, but I woke up to hear it on the roof and woke up this morning with just a little hint of that smell, that desert smell. Yeah,
I had about 6 sprinkles doing chores last night. That was the it for our now. On the monsoons and the rain, if we get it, which we're always hoping for, we see a lot of times trees blown over because of saturation and the moisture. And that's usually trees that have been planted. They haven't moved their drip lines correctly. The roots are in tighter than the branches are out. And saturated roots, heavy trees, there's a lot of tree toppling.
Yeah, bad combination is when we get into that regular cycle of afternoon monsoon rains, and you'll have a day after day after day of a good downpour, it sets up conditions for that soil to be waterlogged. And then if we get a big blow, it unfortunately, instead of a branch breaking, you've got entire tree failure where the entire root plate will pull up out of the soil and you lose the entire tree. And that's a shame. So, yeah, when we get into that regular cycle of forecasted thunderstorms, and it probably is a good idea to shut your irrigation timer off, turn it to the rain setting, because you don't want to be exacerbating the problem with getting some that seasonal rain, and then you to have your irrigation timer click on and throw a bunch more water into that already wet soil. Because, like I said, that sets up the conditions for that total tree failure where root balls come up and the whole tree is lost. You can repair trees if they lose a branch or two, but it's a shame when these big trees go down and the whole thing comes up.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation. You can also text your questions to 411-923, where we're talking with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, Monsoon Prep. Getting our trees ready to take the wind.
Yeah, I wanted to mention a couple of quick things. I'm going to just run through this brief article that I posted onto our. It's on our website, Preparing Trees for Summer. But for those of you who are doing a little bit of work in your yard today, keep this in mind. If you've planted a good quality tree, that's a good place to start. You know, start well, end well. If you got a good quality tree in the ground, it's going to serve you a lot longer period of time. It'll have a lot less problems, a lot less issues with our soil conditions, our natural pests. We always are encouraging people to go native instead of desert-adapted trees because of that very thing. They have a lower profile in the landscape. They handle the wind better. And, of course, they're much more adapted to our weather. Also, plant trees in groups. If you're planting some trees, don't set that tree out in the corner of your yard where it's going to be, completely isolated and vulnerable to that wind. A couple of two or three trees planted together buffer the wind from each other. They buffer the sun from one another, and they work together as a team. If you're staking and guying your trees, only stake the tree if you need to. The idea is to get a tree off of a staking system, not to immobilize it and imprison it on a staking system. So unfortunately, a lot of people put their trees on a really tight system. The tree doesn't have to do any work. The roots kind of take a vacation because the stake is doing all the work for it. You want to always stake your tree loosely with a soft tie material. Allow the tree to slightly move in the wind. It helps the tree to get established. Just like our muscles need some movement to be able to grow, the wood on the trunk of our trees actually needs some movement for it to develop taper and start getting stronger to support the increasing end weight as the tree gets taller. So a little bit of movement in your staking system is critical. And it takes a little bit, it's an art and a science to do a good staking system because it's actually providing a fail-safe. It's just there to prevent catastrophic fall, you know, failure of the tree, of falling over completely. So leave it on and allow as much movement as you can inside the system, and you'll have a you'll be able to get it off the tree, off the system a lot sooner.
And that's something that oftentimes when you see a professional doing something, you think, oh, that must be the way it's done. You see a lot of trees along freeways and roads that are staked tight, or in homeowners' yards that are staked really tight. That just because a professional did that doesn't mean it was the right way to do it. That's still an improper staking.
Yeah, you like I said, you have to put them on a on the staking system with the idea that you're going to try to get them off, but allow them some movement. Also, that travel stake, that stake that's tied directly to the trunk, that should come off the day that it's put in the ground. It's only called a travel stake because it's intended to get the tree to its final destination, but then you need to pull it off that stake and put a couple of stakes, two or three stakes around it, and tie them, suspend the tree between those stakes, and try to put those stakes down into the native soil outside the planting hole so that they can be anchored in the solid soil. You don't want to put them into that loose soil that you've dug out to plant your tree, because then the stakes can get loose, or drive them down deeper below the depth of the planting hole into some nice native soil so those stakes are nice and firm in the ground. And also you can tilt them out slightly away from the tree. Will give them even a little bit better anchoring. And then be sure you monitor them. Get them off the stakes as soon as you can. Usually after a single season, you should be able to have enough trunk taper developed, and those roots should be anchored out into the native soil so you can get the tree off the stake as quick as you can. If you need help with staking and even guying, there are some metal cabling systems, guying systems that you can install. If you need help with that, you know, you can call a certified arborist in your area and get someone out to give you help.
And you can find a certified arborist outside of Integrity Tree Service working area by going to?
You can go to isa-arbor.com and put in your zip code search. That's isa-arbor.com. Put in your zip code, and you can find all the certified arborists in your area.
I tell you one thing, I've been battling really bad this year. I don't know, on your irrigated lot, have you been having gopher problems?
My goodness.
Ground squirrels? Man.
My yard's just overrun.
Oh, I hate looking out my backyard right now because I've got the beautiful lawn coming in, and I got all these little potholes, and we had a little escape this week, so we've got goats and rabbits all in the backyard.
Yeah.
And that's why we use Moltox among our. We don't use the Moltox. That's one of Bonide's. That's their poison. We use the Mole Max and Vole Repellent. It's a completely organic product that you just pour in the hole and on top of the dirt. Then once that pushes them outside, we pull the Moltox on them, and that has worked great. I think but they are ferocious, and it takes constant
vigilance.
Constant vigilance. Bonide products are family made in America.